Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The High Frontier, Human Colonies. In Space by physicist Gerard K. O'Neill is a landmark work of space futurism that argues for building large, permanent human habitats beyond Earth. Rather than treating space as a place only for short visits, O'Neill lays out a practical-sounding vision of orbital communities that could support thriving populations, industry, and culture. The book is known for popularizing the idea of free-flying space settlements, often discussed alongside concepts like rotating habitats that create artificial gravity. It also ties space development to earthly needs, proposing that energy and materials gathered off-planet could relieve pressure on the environment and expand economic possibilities. Written for general readers but grounded in engineering-style reasoning, it blends big-picture optimism with sketches of how transportation, construction, and daily life might work in a space-based society. The result is a provocative invitation to imagine human expansion as an achievable next step. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a new direction for space, living in orbit rather than landing on planets. A central idea associated with the high frontier is that the most scalable path for large populations is not immediate planetary colonization, but building habitats in free space near Earth and the Moon. This reframes the goal of spaceflight from flags and footprints to continuous human presence supported by repeatable infrastructure. The argument draws strength from location. Orbital space offers constant sunlight, wide room for construction, and access to nearby resources without deep gravity wells. In this approach, settlements can be positioned where energy is abundant and where travel times for cargo and people remain manageable. The concept also shifts the problem from adapting humans to harsh planetary environments toward designing environments that suit humans. That design mindset makes everyday life a first-class engineering requirement, not an afterthought. It invites readers to think about governance, safety, education, and culture as integral components of the project, because a settlement is not a mission but a home. The broader implication is strategic. If a society can build one habitat, it can build many, enabling growth by replication. This topic sets the foundation for the book's reputation as a serious proposal for space settlement, not merely a speculative adventure. Secondly, habitat engineering, artificial gravity, radiation protection, and closed-loop living. Any credible plan for long-term communities must address basic human needs, and the book is widely associated with tackling those needs through engineering principles. A key element is artificial gravity, typically achieved by rotation, which aims to reduce health risks that come with prolonged weightlessness. Another core challenge is radiation from the sun and cosmic sources. Solutions usually involve shielding, often by placing substantial material between inhabitants and space. That naturally connects to construction strategies that use bulk mass sourced off Earth to avoid launching everything from the surface. Life support is treated not as a spacecraft subsystem, but as an ecosystem problem. Air, water, food, and waste flows must be managed with high reliability. Thinking in terms of cycles and redundancy helps illustrate how a settlement differs from a capsule. The topic also encompasses psychological and social design, such as providing space, variety, and naturalistic environments to support well-being. Even without diving into formulas, the book's public legacy emphasizes that these problems are tractable with known physics and careful design trade-offs. By presenting constraints and possible solutions in a structured way, it encourages readers to see space habitats as engineered cities, where comfort, resilience, and maintainability matter as much as propulsion. Thirdly, using space resources, the moon, asteroids, and the logic of in-space manufacturing, a defining theme in O'Neill's vision, is that space settlement becomes far more feasible when local materials are used for construction and industry. Launching every beam, shield, and kilogram of equipment from Earth is costly and constraining, so the argument turns to the Moon and near-Earth objects as sources of metals, oxygen-bearing minerals, and bulk mass. The concept is not just mining for its own sake, but building an in-space supply chain that supports growth, extract, process, manufacture, and assemble where gravity and atmosphere do not impose the same penalties as on Earth. This topic also links to the idea of bootstrapping, where early infrastructure enables more capacity later, creating a compounding effect. It encourages readers to think about logistics, power, and automation as central enablers, along with transportation methods that move raw materials efficiently. The broader economic reasoning is that once an off-Earth industrial base exists, the marginal cost of building additional habitats and energy systems could drop significantly. The book's public influence helped make in-situ resource utilization a mainstream concept in space policy discussions. It frames resources as a practical bridge between inspirational goals and engineering realities, turning settlement into a manufacturing and systems design problem rather than a single heroic expedition. Fourthly, space-based energy, solar power as a driver for expansion and Earth benefits, the high frontier is frequently connected with the argument that space development can produce tangible benefits for Earth, especially through large-scale solar energy collection in orbit. The core logic is straightforward. Sunlight in space is intense and continuous compared to the intermittent conditions on the ground, and orbital platforms could harvest that energy and deliver it to where it is needed. While the details of transmission and infrastructure are complex, the appeal is strategic. A space energy economy could finance continued construction while also reducing reliance on finite terrestrial resources. This topic also ties the settlement concept to environmental stewardship. By moving certain heavy industrial processes off-planet and leveraging abundant solar input, the vision suggests a pathway to economic growth with less ecological strain. It invites readers to consider long-time horizons, where investments in space infrastructure become comparable to other major human-built systems such as power grids, ports, and communication networks. Another layer is geopolitical and societal. Energy abundance tends to reshape economies, and a new high-capacity energy source could have broad implications for development and stability. In the public discourse, the book helped connect space settlement to practical terrestrial incentives, making the case that space is not only an arena for exploration, but also a platform for essential services that could improve life on Earth. Lastly, pathways and politics, how societies might choose to build the high frontier. Beyond the technical vision, the book's enduring impact comes from treating space settlement as a human project that requires institutions, investment, and public support. The pathway concept typically starts with incremental steps: develop transportation, demonstrate resource extraction, build industrial capability, and then scale to larger habitats. This staged approach highlights risk management, learning curves, and the importance of early successes that attract additional funding and talent. It also raises questions about who leads: governments, private enterprises, international partnerships, or mixed models. Each choice affects regulation, safety standards, property and resource rights, and long-term governance of communities. The topic naturally includes workforce development and education, because building and running settlements requires diverse expertise, from engineering to medicine to agriculture. It also calls attention to social legitimacy. People must believe the project is ethical, safe enough, and beneficial, not merely a prestige effort. The high frontier framing suggests a frontier mentality, but with modern responsibilities, such as environmental care, conflict prevention, and equitable access to opportunity. By presenting a coherent narrative of how a civilization might commit to living in space, the book encourages readers to think about policy and economics alongside rockets and habitats. That combination is one reason it remains influential in discussions about long-term space futures. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want a serious, optimistic framework for human expansion into space, including science and engineering enthusiasts, policy-minded thinkers, and anyone curious about what a space-based civilization could look like. It can benefit a reader's life by sharpening systems thinking. It connects energy, resources, logistics, ecology, and governance into one integrated picture. Even if you never work in aerospace, the habit of evaluating constraints, trade-offs, and scalable pathways is transferable to business, technology, and public policy. The book is also motivating because it treats the future as something that can be designed through choices, not just predicted. Compared with many similar books that focus on speculative storytelling or narrow mission concepts, The High Frontier stands out for presenting a broad yet structured argument for permanent settlement, grounded in the logic of physics, infrastructure, and economics. Its influence on later discussions of orbital habitats, in space manufacturing, and solar power makes it a foundational reference for understanding why space settlement became a credible topic rather than a fringe dream. If you want one classic that ties ambition to plausible mechanisms and long-term benefits, it is worth buying and revisiting. If you would like to support Gerard K. O'Neill, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.